Education Subcommittee of the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. This is Thursday, August 7th, 2003, and we will be in work session today on House Bill 5014, which is the Operations and Grant and Aid Budget for the Department of Education. Open a work session on House Bill 5014. Ms. McGlashan.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the subcommittee. You have before you a memo from me on this budget bill, as well as an accompanying spreadsheet with more detail on it, and then a supplement to the memo, an additional budget note, which we'll go over as we get into the detail of this budget. So if I could just have you take a look at the memo to begin with. That first page just sets the stage for you, shows you the governor's recommended budget for the department, as well as some historical data. And I would point out that we're not considering the state school fund, which technically is a part of the department's budget. But when I'm talking about the Department of Education today, it only includes the department's operations, the special schools for the blind and deaf, the youth corrections education program, grant and aid, and then debt service on education lottery bonds. That's also in this budget. So if you turn to the second page, we'll start going through the budget units, and I'll walk you through the recommended packages with any adjustments. And that first budget unit is for operations, and the first section of adjustments are the technical packages that I'm sure you're really familiar with by now for all agencies. That first package is 001, which represents the employee compensation freeze adjustments. In other words, this eliminates any compensation increases included in the budget, such as merits and COLAs. And this package would reduce the operations budget by $319,726 general fund, $47,437 other funds, and $176,673 federal funds. The next package is for vacant position elimination. The agency's revised vacant positions list included 43 vacancies, and the revised one was simply they had submitted an original one at the time all agencies were requested to do so, and then they updated it as additional vacancies occurred or previous vacancies have been filled. I'm recommending that 12 of the vacant positions be eliminated. Of the 31 remaining positions, those are necessary to maintain minimally adequate oversight over programs and operations to deal with mandated caseloads. And I would also point out that of those 31, 25 are either fully or partially funded with federal or other funds. I'm also recommending that of the remaining positions, that some of those be continued at lower steps than budgeted. So this package would adjust their budget by reducing general fund $1,483,418, other funds by $135,577, and federal funds by $462,094. Package 003 is the inflation adjustment, and in the development of the governor's budget for this agency, most of the general fund inflation was eliminated. So you will not see a general fund reduction in this package, but there is an other funds reduction of $231,776 and a federal funds reduction of $672,401. Package 004 simply reflects the Attorney General rate reduction, the hourly rate from $109 to $98. That was work done in the Public Safety Subcommittee of Ways and Means. This package reduces the Department Operations General Fund by $32,279, other funds by $1,696, and federal funds by $3,443. Package 005 is the adjustment for the Department of Administrative Services assessment changes, and this package reduces general fund by $98,303 and other funds by $153,999. Package 006 is the co-chair reduction, and this is the package that helps meet the co-chair's targeted reduction for this agency. This package includes elimination of three positions or 3.5 67 FTE. It also reduces the budget by $300,000 general fund, and that amount is appropriated to the emergency board as a special purpose appropriation with instructions to the agency to report on its reorg plan, and we'll discuss that later in the budget notes. And this package would reduce the operations general fund by $3,786,156 and $94,793 federal funds.
Madam Chair.
Senator Gordley.
Yes, I'd like to ask the department to comment on the loss of federal funds through the decisions in these various packages. It's well over $1 million in federal funds. And could we hear a comment on the record about what we're giving up?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning. Madam Chair, members of the subcommittee, I'm Dave Fazier, business director over at Oregon Department of Education, and Mike Greenfield is here with me also, deputy of operations. The reduction in federal funds expenditure limitation that you see are calculated amounts based upon our budget plan for spending for certain services, whether it's personal services or state government service charge or S&S. The funds themselves don't go away, so we will continue to have the revenue. It would be incumbent upon us to find out or rebudget how we could best spend those dollars. If it's already within existing authorities, we can do that, or we would come back to the emergency board with a request for more limitation and a plan on how we would spend those revenues.
Right. Appreciate that clarification. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. And then package 007 is simply a technical adjustment to this budget. They've had some excess other funds expenditure limitation, which has just been carried over from previous biennia. So the recommendation is to reduce the other funds, by $3 million in the budget to align their budget with the other funds resources that they actually will have.
Are there any other questions or comments on the standard reductions? Let's go ahead then and talk about the policy package.
Madam Chair, could I ask about the last part? Could you give me a little more detail on the $3 million other funds? What actually are we doing here? Are we moving to other areas?
Madam Chair and Representative Bates, no, this is just in recognition that the department doesn't actually have as much in resources to support that other funds expenditure limitation that's in the governor's budget. So it's simply aligns the expenditure limitation in the budget with what's actually
gotcha. Set. Thank you.
Mr. Fazier, would you feel comfortable just staying up here to be available to answer these questions?
I'm not sure I feel comfortable, ma'am, so I'm happy to do that.
Thank you. Further questions or comments on the technical adjustments? Let's go ahead on the policy packages for the operations.
The first policy package is package 101. This is for restoring some of the 2002 special session reductions in the assessment program and FITESA, the Technology Enhanced Student Assessment System. And this is a $4 million general package. The recommendation is to reduce the package by $1.7 million, so that leaves $2.3 million in the department's operations budget. And then of the $1.7 million reduction, appropriate $1 million of that general fund to the emergency board with instructions to the agency. And again, these instructions are in the budget notes section, and we can cover that later. But just essentially what the instructions are, they would direct the department to do more work on looking at the cost of its in-house assessment program versus contracting out and then reporting back to the emergency board. And then package 107 on page 3 is an organizational realignment. The original package that the agency submitted asked for position authority for 9 positions or 9 FTE, and this was to resolve double-filled positions and work out of class issues. And it was self-financed. It would simply shift funds from services and supplies categories to personal services. And the original package also included a reclassification of a position to reflect actual duties and responsibilities. The agency, during the session, submitted a supplement to the original package that added a net 11 positions, or 11 FTE. Three of these positions would be transferred from the Youth Corrections Education Program. Four would be financed by shifting funding from services and supplies categories. And then four would be continuations of limited duration positions, again funded out of services and supplies categories. So the total revised package is an increase of 20 positions and an increase of 20 FTE.
May I, Senator Gore, just to make sure I understand what's happening with the Youth Corrections Education Program, is there a loss of a position there? Or
Madam Chair and Senator Gordley, what this does is, and you'll see this later in the Youth Corrections Education Program budget unit when we get to that,
okay,
that point, but they're simply transferring three positions that they feel they don't need in that program to operations where they're able to use those positions.
Madam Chair, may I ask the Department a question about the TESA program?
Yes.
The TESA program is one which many districts need and want, because we test 3rd, 5th, 8th, 10th grades, basically, and some testing in between. But the speed at which that gets back to the districts so that it can actually affect student behavior and student learning is important, and that's what the TESA program, my understanding, is designed to do, is get that information back quickly, not get it back 6 to 8, 9 months later when students have moved on to other classes or other sites or even out of the state. Will this money allow you to move that program forward? I mean, some districts are taking part, some aren't, is my understanding. You want to spread it to more districts and get the program up and running in a faster method. What does this actually mean, this money? Does it mean you're going to go forward with that program, or is it going to slow you down, to speed you up? Where are you in the program?
Well, Madam Chair, Representative Bates, first of all, the TESA program is exactly for the purpose that you described. And the funding reduction that is being offered here is to assist in generating efficiencies, have us relook from top to bottom our entire statewide assessment process and see what efficiencies we can gain. I could tell you that we believe that there are efficiencies that we can generate over the course of the biennium, and we'd look forward to coming back, and we are going to come back by budget note and talk to the emergency board and legislative committees on our success in finding those efficiencies, and that will tell us whether or how much of a program impact we actually have. At the first moment, we believe that there is a very critical program impact. We will let you know, but we would agree with the chair and others who we've been in discussions with the entire biennium that the assessment program does need to be looked top to bottom, and let's look for those efficiencies first, and then we'll be able to determine if there is an actual program impact. In the TESA program, I don't anticipate that for the first year we would see an impact on implementation of the TESA program, but again, we could address that more specifically when we evaluate that funding level and come back and report.
Well, Madam Chair, I understand that this agency is going undergoing a significant reorganization, and for that reason I'm not going to press this point, but I just want to make sure that we understand that one of the things this department does that's really important to the district is that testing program and getting the information back to the teachers in the classrooms early enough to make an impact on students. That's one of the big weaknesses in our assessment programs. So I'll just leave it there, knowing you're going through a lot of change right now, and hopefully you'll come back and tell us what this really means.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Further questions or comments? Let's go ahead and talk about Even Start and finish up the policy packages.
Okay. Madam Chair, if you permit me, I'll just also wrap up package 107. And go over my recommendation, and that would be to approve the establishment of 12 positions or 12 FTE and approve the reclassification of the office specialist to an admin specialist one. It would also be to decrease general fund by $235,628, increase other funds expenditure limitation by $240,560, and increase federal funds expenditure limitation by $90,346, and then instruct the agency to return to the emergency board for additional position authority if needed once its reorg plan is complete. And the 12 positions that I'm recommending include 8 from the original package, and four from the supplemental package, and that would be the three transferred from the Youth Corrections Education Program and then one new position for an internal auditor. And then finally, Package 108 is the Even Start Literacy Transfer, and this simply reflects that the transfer of that program from the Department of Community Colleges and Workforce Development to the Oregon Department of Education. It's my understanding you approved a similar package in that agency's budget, transferring the program out and the position out. This package in the governor's budget is $232,353 federal funds and one position or 0.7 FTE, and I'm recommending the position and the 0.7 FTE, but a slightly lower federal funds amount due to updated information on the federal funds for this program. So that would be $202,024 federal funds expenditure limitation. There are no other questions, Madam Chair.
Are there any other questions or comments on the operations policy packages? Let's go ahead and move on then.
Next budget unit is for special schools for the blind and the deaf. On page four, you have that budget unit presented. And again, the technical or the standard packages that all budgets have, and starting with package 001, the employee compensation freeze. That would reduce the budget for this program by $94,902 general fund, $1,474 other funds, and $63,096 federal funds. And then package 002 is the vacant position elimination. The special schools list contains 57 vacancies. And 49 of these are addressed in the Package 107, Organizational Realignment. And of the remaining eight, two have been filled. One is considered essential and under recruitment. One is essential to the school's program. It's boiler maintenance and security, and soon will be under recruitment. And then four represent only 0.08 FTE, and those FTE are used to provide one-to-one staff periodically to specific individual students. I'm recommending that the vacant positions be continued, but at lower steps than budgeted for two of the positions. And that results in a decrease of $9,733 general fund. And then in package 003, as with operations, the general fund inflation for this budget unit already was removed during development of the governor's budget. So this package eliminates the other funds inflation, and that's a decrease of $90,460, and also the federal funds inflation, and that's a decrease of $5,056. Package 004 is the Attorney General hourly rate reduction, and that reduces the budget by $29 general fund. And then there is base non-limited adjustment, and this simply reflects that the agency no longer uses this category of non-limited other funds. And that reduces the non-limited other funds by $124,886.
The peanut gallery is making snide comments.
Not the $29, sorry.
Hey, man, it's money.
We can't control ourselves over here.
He's really excited about saving $29 on the Attorney General.
Well, Madam Chair, wait till we get to Youth Corrections Education.
Okay. Are there any relevant comments on the standard reductions to the special schools? Please proceed, Ms. McGlashan.
Package 107 is, again, organizational realignment, again, establishing position authority to resolve double field and work out of class positions and shifting S&S funds to personal services to pay for the new positions. The agency also submitted a supplement to this package that eliminates 72 positions, but I would point out that it's relatively small FTE, 15.39. But the package also would increase existing positions by 18.64 FTE, and this is simply to reflect current operations and practices in the special schools and a much-needed adjustment, in my opinion. The net result of the modified package is a decrease of 70 positions and an increase of 5.08 FTE, and the general fund savings from eliminated positions are used to finance the package. What I'm recommending is that you approve the position changes as presented in the revised package, and then also adjust the package to reflect the elimination of merits and COLAs. So that would be a reduction of $30,881 general fund, $1,043 other funds, and $1,754 federal funds.
Can I go ahead with your... are there any questions on the organizational realignment? My understanding is that this is just going to be a situation where their paper budget will reflect what's actually going on the ground.
And so thank you, Madam Chair. So it will not negatively affect the operations of the school for the deaf or blind?
Madam Chair, Representative March, these position changes will only align with the current activity. They will not impact program.
Thank you.
Let's proceed.
Madam Chair, members of the subcommittee, next is the Youth Corrections Education Program. This is all other funds and federal funds in this budget unit. Package 001, again, employee compensation freeze would reduce the budget by $58,080 other funds. Vacant position elimination. The vacancy list for this budget unit contains three vacant positions, and two of those are eliminated in package 107, which we'll talk about in a few minutes. The remaining position is a teaching assistant position currently under recruitment, and LFO recommends that position be retained but at a lower step than budgeted, with a corresponding reduction in other funds and federal funds expenditure limitations. So that would reduce the budget by $4,576 other funds and $11,768 federal funds. Package 003 is the inflation adjustment. This would reduce the budget by $870,710 other funds and $96,109 federal funds. And finally, package 004 is the Attorney General rate reduction, reflecting the reduction in the hourly rate, and that is a reduction of $6 other funds.
Do you have a comment on the standard reduction package? Let's go ahead then to the policy package.
And policy package 107, organizational realignment, as in the other two budget units, this is to resolve issues such as double-filled and work-out-of-class positions. Again, in this case, it would use some existing personal services funding from eliminated positions and also some S&S funding for the two new there aren't two new positions in the original package. The supplemental request eliminates four positions and reduces other funds expenditure limitation to transfer the positions and limitation to the agency's operations program, which we talked about earlier. The recommendation is to approve the reclassification of two positions, and this is at no additional cost, and then approve a decrease of $240,560 and a decrease of $20,675 federal funds, and approve the transfer of the three positions to operations, which, again, we already talked about. Of the four that had been requested, one was not in this budget unit to begin with. It was already in operations.
Questions on the policy package? Let's keep moving along.
Madam Chair, I do.
I'm sorry. Senator Gordon.
With a 21% plus decrease from the 0103 approved budget level, what is the impact on programs?
Mr. Fasher?
Madam Chair, Senator Gordley, is that an overall reduction you're looking at?
Yes, I am.
Madam Chair, Senator Gordley, might be able to answer that for you. This budget is driven by what level there is in the state school fund. And there was no adjustment made because at this point we don't know what the level in the state school fund is going to be. And you'll note that in the text below that third box, I pointed out that depending upon the level of state school fund approved by this assembly, the department may need to request additional limitation from the emergency board, which is something that we've done in the past. And so I don't believe there actually will be any program reduction. It's just a matter of not knowing what the appropriate level of expenditure limitation should be at this time.
Okay. I would just ask, Madam Chair, that we keep our eye on this one to ensure that there is no program reduction as we take up the matter of the school fund. That's another committee and another discussion, but let's put a star by it.
Let's make sure that that is in the record, that that's an issue that we need to pay attention to.
Madam Chair, what we can do is in the budget report note that we have this discussion and that the department is invited to come back to the emergency board once we determine what the appropriate level of expenditure limitation is for this program.
Very good.
Yes.
Any comments, any further comments on this policy package?
Next, Madam Chair, members of the subcommittee, is the grant and aid program unit. The first package that I'd like to discuss is package 040, and this is actually an essential package in the budget. It's not a technical legislation package at all. This is for mandated caseload, and this provides for increases in mandated caseload in the early intervention and early childhood special education program. And consistent with actions that were taken by the 2001 Legislative Assembly, LFO recommends that a portion of the $13.3 million general fund package be appropriated as special purpose appropriation to the emergency board. And this would be pending updated information on caseload growth and federal funds. What I'm recommending then is that you reduce the package by about half, $6.5 million. And then establish a $6.5 million special purpose appropriation to the emergency board specifically for this program, and then with instructions to the agency to report by the end of the 2003-2004 fiscal year on the caseload growth in federal funds. And again, there's a budget note in the budget note section that we can that we will be discussing, and it's identical to the one that was approved by the last assembly for this program and for this caseload growth. And the reason for doing this is because we budget on a biennial basis, it's difficult to project for this program and others as well what the caseload growth might be. And it just gives us a chance to revisit that estimate that's in the budget currently.
Senator Gordon.
Yes, I have a question about earmarking the $6.5 million special purpose appropriation to the e-board. By doing that, does that give assurances that the funds can only be used for that purpose? And I'm a little concerned here about past practice with e-boards and not wanting to see those funds diverted for some other purpose.
Ms. McClash?
Madam Chair and Senator Gordley, that's exactly correct. It does. It would only be for this program. If we were just instructing the agency to come to the emergency board along with every other agency that has an emergency and ask for general purpose emergency fund, or if it were just a reservation, which the emergency board at its discretion could reverse, then there would be some risk that the funds wouldn't be used for this particular program. But when it's established as a special purpose appropriation, it can be used only for the purpose that's in statute. And what we would do is make sure that it says that it's for that purpose, for the EIECSE program.
Okay. Again, I'm glad that we're getting this clarification on the record. Thank you.
Senator Messerly.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just to follow up on that answer, Sue, would that hold true even after the report of the 03-04 fiscal year? It would seem to me that after that report, if they didn't need those funds, that it might be released for other uses.
Madam Chair and Senator Messerly, if the emergency board felt that not all of the $6.5 million general fund appropriation was necessary, for example, if caseload growth wasn't as high as expected, then the emergency board could choose to allocate only a portion of that $6.5 million. And typically what happens in the language in the budget bill is it will state that any monies not used for that specific purpose revert as of a certain point in time, and it's usually like November or December of the even-numbered year right before the next legislative session.
Thank you.
Representative Bates.
Yes, Madam Chair. A couple questions for LFO. First off, you ran the figures kind of quickly past me there. What did we actually put in the program in 01 and 03? How much did the program actually spend? And if you need to get the information later, it's okay, too.
Oh, Madam Chair and Representative Bates, after all the special session reductions and kind of eyeballing what the allotment reduction was, it looks like it was about $81.5 million for that program. And
$81.5 million.
Right.
And the budget you're setting now with a $6.5 million holdback, what would that actually represent?
If you take the holdback out?
Yes.
The amount that's in the governor's budget, I believe, is 91.2. What I show in the recommended bill amendments would be 84 point, and that's on page 8 of the memo. And this would be the direct appropriation to the agency for this, so not including the 6.5, would be roughly $84.7 million.
And there's a $6.5 million holdback on top of it.
Right, so the total would be closer to that.
And in 2001-03, what percentage of eligible children were actually treated or taken care of? You know that? We have a mandate to be 100% by 2004, June of 2004, I believe.
Madam Chair and Representative Bates, I believe you're talking about the Oregon Pre-K program, and this is the early intervention, early childhood special education program that serves kids birth through school.
What percentage of children are we reaching in?
Madam Chair and Representative,
that are eligible.
I'd have to respond to that.
Madam Chair, Representative Bates, I'm not sure if we have that information here. We can get that to you after the hearing, if that's satisfactory.
Yeah, I mean, it just, we want to know what the program's doing, how many we're reaching, and how much money we're spending on. That's the basis of the questions. How about getting it to us later, then?
All right.
I want to hold this budget up.
I apologize, Representative Bates.
It's okay.
Other questions or comments on Package 040? Let's go ahead.
Madam Chair, members of the subcommittee, the next package is Package 092, and this is, again, an essential package in the governor's budget, targeted reductions to balance. And it had a number of items in it, including removal of almost all the general fund inflation, elimination of the Frontier Learning Network, and then it added funding for the SMART program, the Start Making a Reader Today program. And the co-chair's budget does not include funding for the SMART program, so the recommendation is to reduce this package by $1,038,653 general fund.
Which would then have, Madam Chair, what effect?
Madam Chair and Senator Gordon, my understanding, this is a new program that the department and the state, for that matter, is not supported in the
SMART
past.
Program.
It's a private program, and I can't really tell you exactly what this would do in terms of its ability to expand or its plans.
Well, this is the concern I have, and perhaps staff can help me with this, and the department as well. I'm very concerned that we are looking at eliminating funding for the Frontier Learning Network.
Oh, we're not.
We're not.
It comes in later.
Okay. That's good news. I'll save my remarks.
I had the same question before I read further down.
Okay. All right.
Representative March.
Yes. We are now into what was House Bill 5015. And I note there's no discussion of a modification of the Oregon pre-kindergarten program, and yet on page 8, the Oregon pre-kindergarten program is funded at $1 million less than the governor's than the bill as printed. So
we
discuss that.
And Representative March, we will get to that. That is in package 006. A little farther down.
Okay. Representative March, do you have a follow-up?
That's fine.
Okay. Let's proceed.
Madam Chair, then package 003 is the inflation adjustment, and most of the general fund inflation, as I mentioned already, was eliminated in development of the governor's budget. There's a little piece left in. That results in a reduction of 46,000. $314 general fund, $580,620 other funds, and then $23,395,026 federal funds. I'd like to address that federal funds piece in a couple minutes when we talk about one of the policy packages. I realize that's a large amount. You may have some concerns about that. Then package 006, the co-chair reduction, again, to meet the co-chair's budget target. They had originally eliminated all of the Oregon Public Education Network. In this version of their budget, it's only partially eliminated. So the amount in the governor's budget, I believe, was $1,955,501, and this would eliminate $1,155,501, so at least $800,000 general fund in the budget for that program. The Oregon pre-kindergarten program is reduced by $1 million, and then funding for the Frontier Learning Network, which had been eliminated in the governor's budget, is partially restored at a level of $651,492. So those three adjustments combined are the $1,504,009 general fund reduction that you see there in that.
Questions and comments? Senator Messerly.
Yes. Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm interested in what that does to the open program.
We had significant and ongoing discussions on open, and what this does, do you have that information? This restores, maintains the ability of open to do what people want it to do, basically. Yeah, go ahead.
Madam Chair and Senator Messerly, given a level of funding of $800,000, one of the budget scenarios presented by, I believe, the organization is that they could do some video conferencing, have, I'm not sure what PT stands for.
A part-time
for.
Director.
Director, a contracted network engineer, and then access costs that they would be able to pay on the behalf of certain districts.
So this doesn't allow for the expansion of any programs, but it does maintain the functioning of the network. Further questions or comments? Senator Gordley.
The $1 million reduction to the Oregon pre-kindergarten program. What does that reduction mean in terms of inability to serve current eligibles?
Excuse me, could you repeat the question, Senator?
I'm sorry, Representative Smith, I will speak up.
Thank you.
I'm concerned about the reduction of $1 million to the Oregon pre-kindergarten program. And
we're having some paper shuffling going on here.
And I want to know what that means in terms of our inability to serve existing eligibles. I have an even greater concern about the Oregon benchmark that we've set forth that says we'll serve 100% of eligibles by 2004, as Representative Bates earlier noted. And I would just remind us that, as with this program and several others that serve the poorest of the poor children in our state, this is a program commitment we made going back to the 80s. And we failed to keep the commitment then. We failed it in the 90s, and it looks like we're continuing to fail on a promise that we made to Oregon's poorest of the poor. So, again, I want to know how many children will be left out of this opportunity as a result of the $1 million reduction, and what percentage of the eligibles are we now serving?
Ms. McGlashan, do you have information on that?
I believe I might
or
add
Mr.
that.
I do have
okay.
Here. Madam Chair, Senator Gordley, the service level for the 0103 biennium is approximately 61% of eligible children. The $1 million will reduce services to approximately or up to 130 children in the state. I think we would all concur that one of the tragedies at this particular point in time is that we are not looking at the vision of where we need to go. We're looking at short-term constraints of statewide available revenue across the board. OPK is a benchmark, statewide benchmark, and as such, we are reducing service level in that program.
I guess the additional point I would make is that even when we didn't have constraints, we didn't keep the commitment to this population of children. And I appreciate fully where we are with our budget. But again, this is a failure on the part of this body to meet the needs of Oregon's poorest of the poor children. And I don't... I find it very difficult to support doing this again, some 20 years after we made the initial commitment, Madam Chair.
I appreciate you getting that on the record, Senator.
Madam Chair.
Representative Bates.
Follow-up question to the department. This is where I was going earlier. I'm sorry for sort of missing the track. I apologize. But this is a really important program. It feeds directly into Head Start in most areas and picks up kids that are really at high risk. And we know that getting these kids when they're 2, 3, 4 years old is really the key time to make change in their lives to become learners later on. Where are we going to be in 03, 04? Our goal was 100% at that time. Where are we actually going to be in 03, 04 at this budget level? You said we'd be dropping 130 kids, but I mean, where is the department predicting we're going to be at the end of the 2004-05 year? Do you have any idea where you're going with this program right now?
Yes, Madam Chair, Representative Bates. First of all, I'd like to highlight and appreciate your comments that we are talking about the poorest of the poor children. This is not all children we're talking about. The percentages we're talking about of service level are percentage service levels to just the poorest of the poor in Oregon. We are probably with the reduction of about 130 children looking at less than 57% service level at the end of the biennium.
Follow up, Madam Chair.
Follow up.
If you raise that to 100%, what kind of revenue would you have to generate?
Madam Chair, Representative Bates, excuse me, we had done some calculations. They are about 2 years old, and it would be a very, very rough estimate, but I think that we're looking at almost $50 million. It depends on what the costs are associated with the final children and where they are, geographic location, those kinds of things. That's an outside, not a conservative estimate. We can certainly do a more current calculation and get that information to you fairly
it's
quickly.
It's obviously a long-term goal that we're not going to reach in this biennium. We haven't got that kind of money.
Yes, sir.
But I guess I'd say to some people at the federal level, we are leaving some kids behind. Thank you.
Madam Chair, I just want to say this is a commitment that was made to Oregon's poorest of the poor. If I sound like a broken record, I'm sorry. But we've made that commitment over a period of 20 years. At some point, you know, you have to say we're going to do it. And, again, this is $1 million, and I believe that that $1 million is reachable and that it exists in other places in the budget. And I'm going to urge us to find that $1 million for these poorest of the poor children. That's my position as I sit here today. There's also another proposal out there, and I know this isn't the Revenue Committee, but the proposal for a sales tax and that's in House Bill 3608 would fully fund Oregon Pre-K. It would fund K-12. And it would also fund community colleges. So we're missing opportunities that we have right in front of us to take care of the needs of these children. And the fact that we are seem willingly to step away from this opportunity just makes no sense to me. Again, we're talking about 20 years down the road, and we still find ourselves saying, we can let these children wait. Well, when we let them wait, we know what happens to them. There's another institution right down the street here on State Street. It's the Oregon State Prison. And many of these children find themselves visiting and staying in that institution. They never find their way down here. I'll end my lecture there, but it is something that I feel very, very passionate about. And again, I'm urging us to find the $1 million in other places of the budget. It's there. We're going to spend it for something else that is not as important as these children. We do that every session, and I want us to find the money.
Ms. McGlashan, do you have some additional information?
Madam Chair, I think just to provide some clarification after conferring with the department, that the $1 million reduction, and I realize it doesn't change the dollar amount reduction, but it looks like that's a reduction in slots of 65 rather than 130 that was mentioned earlier.
Okay.
So it would reduce 65 students and not 130? Is that what you're telling me?
That's correct.
65 a year. Well, there's slots, 65 a year, so 2 years, you got 130.
Let's proceed then, and if there are no more comments on policy or adjustment package 006, let's go ahead and talk about the policy packages.
Package 108 is the Even Start Literacy Transfer. This is a companion package to the one that you saw in operations. This is the one that would provide federal funds limitation distribute these grant funds to local programs. Again, this is a transfer from the Department of Community Colleges and Workforce Development. The governor's budget has a $3,516,765 federal funds expenditure limitation amount, and LFO is recommending that you reduce that based on updated federal funds data to $3,165,052 federal funds expenditure limitation. And finally, policy package 304 is grant and aid fund realignment. In the governor's budget, this package is pretty simple and straightforward. It simply shifts expenditures for the federal nutrition program from limited federal funds to non-limited federal funds due to the program meeting the criteria for that budget category, and that is that the expenditures can't be avoided, stopped, or reduced by agency action. In this case, per meal reimbursement is set by the federal government depending on the number and types of meals and the payment category of children served, and the number of children qualifying cannot be controlled or easily determined. And it's been my personal experience for the last two sessions, I believe, that the agencies had to come back during the session and ask for supplemental limitation because it's so difficult to predict these expenditures. So LFO recommends that you approve that piece of the package.
So they would just have a limitation would not apply to this program.
That's correct. That's correct. And the expenditures still are controlled by DAS, mm-hmm. by the DAS allotment system. And during the budget process, the non-limited amount is still reviewed by DAS and LFO. So there's still controls on that. What I'm also recommending is that you adjust this package to reflect updated federal funds data and amounts expected to be received and distributed to local programs from a variety of federal fund sources. And so this would result in a decrease in the limited federal funds by $49,817,762 rather than the $183 million decrease in the governor's budget, because this is the net of that decrease plus an increase in the other program. And I just wanted to point out that because this essentially puts the funding where we believe it will be from these federal programs, it also potentially restores the inflation reduction, since it adjusts the limitation to the actual amounts expected to be received. So to the extent that the federal government has decided to increase funding by an inflation allowance, this puts it back in.
Are there any questions or comments on the two policy packages, 108 and 304? Let's go ahead.
And finally, debt service. Again, this is on the education lottery bonds that have been issued over the past couple of biennia. There's no change from the total amount in the governor's budget, but there is a fund shift from lottery funds to other funds just to recognize that additional interest earnings from debt service related accounts being available. So this would reduce lottery funds by $460,728 and increase other funds by the same amount, $463,728.
Oh, this is a good package. Questions on the debt service package? Okay, let's go ahead.
On page 8, you'll see the recommended bill adjustments. And the first little letter, number I, is to amend the bill before you for operations, special schools, youth corrections, education program, and debt service. And in the general fund section, it's recommended that you delete the amount in the bill for operations and insert $36,093,546. And then for special schools, delete the amount in the bill and insert $17,192,666. For other funds for operations, delete the amount in the bill and insert $6,741,563. For special schools, other funds, delete the amount in the bill, insert $3,158,137. For youth corrections education program, delete the amount in the bill and insert $21,876,068. And then for debt service, delete the other funds amount in the bill and then insert $3,853,214. And then for federal funds for operations, delete the amount in the bill and insert $39,508,939. For special schools federal funds, delete the amount in the bill and insert $789,138. For youth corrections education program, delete the amount in the bill and insert for federal funds $2,796,104. And then finally for lottery funds, and this is all for debt service, delete on line 4 on page 2, delete the amount and insert $53,329,162. And then on page 2 and line 9, delete the amount in the bill and insert $2,370,000. And then LFO also recommends that rather than continuing to have two separate bills for this agency, one for grant and aid and then one for all of its other programs except for the state school fund, that you incorporate House Bill 5015 as adjusted for these recommendations, simply because it's unnecessary, really, to have two separate budget bills, and all other agencies have their grant programs contained in the same bill as their operations, and it's quite more efficient and saves on paperwork and some staff time to just have this all in one bill. So LFO recommends that you amend House Bill 5014 to incorporate the following for the grant and aid programs. For general fund, and the way that this has been structured in the grant and aid bill, each separate grant and aid program has received a line item for its general fund, and then the other funds, because it's a relatively small amount, has just been one lump sum. And then we've also broken out, starting with last session, some of the major federal funds programs, just kind of as an accountability measure for the agency. So in that bill, LFO would recommend that you establish the following general fund amounts for the following programs. For early intervention, early childhood special education programs, $84,659,094. For regional programs, $30,541,152. For hospital programs, $1,512,649. For long-term care and treatment programs, $17,498,515. For the Oregon pre-kindergarten program, $52,582,328. For student leadership centers, $721,466. For OPEN, $800,000. And for Frontier Learning Network, $651,492. then it's recommended that you, for grant aid programs, other funds, you establish expenditure limitation of $14,386,845 for federal funds for the following from the following sources: from the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, $206,240,588. Title I-A grants to local educational agencies, $232,272,755. Title II teacher quality, $53,461,470. Title I migrant education, $25,945,215. Vocational education, $25,982,702. And then for all other federal programs, $100,988,954. And then there would also be established in the bill a section for the non-limited federal funds expenditures for funds received from the U.S. Department of Agriculture for the nutrition programs. And then if you'll turn to page 9, you'll see at the top where there would be established three special purpose appropriations. The first one would be the $6.5 million special purpose appropriation to the E-Board for the EIECSE program for caseload increases. Then there would be a $1 million special purpose appropriation to the E-Board for the student assessment program. And then there would be a $300 million special purpose appropriation to the E-Board for the department's operations pending a report on its reorganization plan.
The what I'd like to do at this point, committee, is just have the committee stand at ease and we will reconvene at the call of the chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.